Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Celebrate Christmas Eve and Day at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us for Christmas Eve or Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holiday special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Jason in the House.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I really do appreciate your time. We got a good one for you today. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good time, a turkey day. One of my favorite times, favorite holidays that there is. A lot of people getting together, a lot of families, but we also have a lot of people serving overseas and first responders and people working in hospitals and people in assisted living centers and a lot of people that are lonely out there too. And so it's an interesting time of the year, but it's also one of my favorite times of the year. It's getting cooler. Got to wear the sweater, put on a jacket. At least most of us, except you're in Florida, New Mexico, Arizona, maybe Texas, but in Hawaii. But for the rest of the country, yeah, it's in California too, I guess. For the rest of us, you know, the seasons change, and it's just one of my absolute favorites. But we got a real treat. Whether you're into football or not, Phil Sims, I mean, the guy's an absolute superstar. He, you know, he was 14 years in the NFL, played for the New York Giants, won two Super Bowls, not just one, was the Super Bowl MVP. I think that was Super Bowl 21. And just an all around good guy. I got to meet him, a couple weeks ago, and we were chatting, and he was familiar with my being on Fox and being in Congress, and got around to talking about the Jason House podcast, and I asked him if he'd come on. He's like, sure. So, we're going to have a little conversation with Phil Sims, a real legend in the NFL. Almost unheard of to spend that many years with one team, the New York Giants. And they retired his number there at the Giants. He's just, you know what? You can tell when you meet somebody, you start talking. Super nice guy. Let's welcome in Phil Sims. Phil Sims, honored to have you on.
Well, Jason, good to be on, man. I'll tell you, you know, haven't seen you for what, a couple weeks. So I figured we had to get a little talk here and get things straight.
That was really, it's an honor to meet you. I've watched you, I don't know how many years of playing football. Like I we got to hang out. We were at this event for Liberty Village. And it's just this project in Utah. You came to Utah. I think it was your first time in Utah.
It was.
We got to sit with you, got to meet my wife. I got to hang out with you, talk with you, and I just couldn't have enjoyed it anymore. It was wonderful.
Well, it was good to see your wife and you, of course, to meet you. I've seen you on TV so much. I feel like, you know, sometimes I know everybody because you guys over at Fox are on TV a lot. So, but that's good. And to see, you know, I got to see your daughters, everything. So it was great. And, look forward to talking a little sports with you and all that. And I know you went to BYU. I never got a chance to talk to you about that. So you were let's tell everybody out there. Tell them you were the place kicker at BYU.
I was, and I told you the most important statistic is we never lost a game by the margin of my missed kicks. That's the only way you can survive and run for Congress in a state like that. Football is everything, you know. College football. Oh, there's no way. If you lost a game, you better move to Arizona or something.
Yeah, you know, listen, college football, it's just getting bigger and hotter and whatever you want to say. I mean, listen, if I have a Saturday off, which I do now in the business I do, I watch it from morning until late at night.
You've lived it. You made a whole career of it. You're two times won the Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP, NFL Man of the Year. I mean, you did it at the highest levels. And you know what was so unique about, I mean, a lot of things are unique about you and your stats and all that, but to play at the Giants for such a long period of time, you just don't see that anymore. I think teams lose a lot by all this free agency, and they move and they bob and they weave, and it's just they don't have the continuity that you had at the Giants.
Well, it's really about one thing, Jason. It's about money. Yeah. You know, the NFL's making more money. They have to get more to the players and, you know, the salary cap, and it's hard to keep a unit together. Like if you took the top seven or eight players on every team in the NFL, to think that they're going to play together probably for 3 years, I would just go, I don't think that can happen. Yeah. Because usually means a raise, got to pay. It just doesn't work now and that way. But, yeah, I was very fortunate because if I played the way I did and got hurt a few times, you know, they'd have moved on and tried somebody else. But when I did play, there was a lot of stability with football teams and rosters and everything, so I was very fortunate that way.
Yeah, how has the game changed since you first came in as a rookie versus what you're seeing now?
Well, I would say this, many things. You know, now quarterbacks complete 65%, and that's expected, maybe more. It's really amazing. But they do throw a lot of short passes, and that helps, and they're very careful, and they're taught great. But just the planning for the game. And I would say, I remember my rookie year. They put the goals up on the screen, and our goal for completion percentage was 52%.
Right.
I mean, if you completed 52% of your throws in the NFL right now, you would be cut when the year's over for sure.
Really?
And if you were the offensive coordinator, they're going to fire you too. So, you know, just that, just totally different. The game was more condensed. It was about running backs for probably half or more of my career. It wasn't about quarterbacks, but as time has moved on, man, Jason, I don't know how much you get to watch, but bigger, faster, stronger is definitely the word about the NFL right now.
Well, it's bigger, faster, stronger, but and when you first started, they didn't have the protections to the quarterback that they have today.
No. I mean, we had stability, so that helped. You know, that was a big part. And I make fun. I was with about a few years ago. Sorry to interrupt you, but I was at this little get-together with NFL quarterbacks and former NFL quarterbacks. And there was a group up in there, so I'm kind of getting on them about it. You know, I'm like going, hey, come on, man. You guys get protected and, you know, just having some fun. And it goes quiet for a second. And Peyton Manning was there. He goes, Phil, you know that if it was you, it'd be life and death. And I said, yeah, I know. I was just having some fun. Of course, it's not life and death, but it's life and really getting hit extremely hard with these pass rushers we see now. So,
well, and I do think the NFL has come a long way with their concussion protocol and whatnot. I mean, you know, being a BYU guy, kind of know Jim McMahon, know Steve Young a little bit, you know, and those guys, I mean, they took some hits. You took some massive hits. It is a violent, tough game.
Yes. You know, taking those hits, that was part of the job. My high school coach, my college coach, and my pro coach for almost my whole career, they always had the same thing. They would tell me relentlessly, stand in there. And okay. And that meant stay in there, throw the ball. Yeah, they're going to run you over, but that's the job, you know. So don't get, as Bill Parcells had a great little saying about it. Once you get cabin fever as a quarterback, it's over. So when you start worrying about the rush is what he's saying, and you can't stand in there because you don't know and all this stuff, then you know your time is fading fast, because it was kind of the way it was for most of the quarterbacks in the NFL during my career.
More Jason in the House next.
Oh. I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risk just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty-free today. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1988. Jimmy Swaggart.
To my Lord and my Savior, I have sinned against you, my Lord.
I did not commit any crime.
Read my lips.
No new answers. Poor George. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
There was a terrible explosion, and the whole sky lit up, and it was virtually raining fire.
We must never surrender. America will get better. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive.
News as it happens then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Even though December is the month you might be spending more dough than usual for holiday gifts, the month also provides some great deals that include end-of-year sale. Box retailers that feature price cuts on major appliances, both big and small. If you're looking for some beauty and fragrance items, many retailers sell discounted sets of makeup, perfume, hair, and skincare products. You can buy gifts for others and at the same time stock up on your favorite beauty and fragrance brands at discount prices. And if you want to treat yourself to a dinner out while doing your holiday shopping or need to pick up a last-minute gift, many restaurants and retailers offer deals on gift cards in December. After Christmas, you can find significant discounts on holiday-specific items and remaining seasonal inventory. While shopping, don't overlook opportunities to stack deals by combining store coupons, cashback offers, and clearance pricing to score some great savings. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Sarah Snook, who leads Peacock's All Her Fault, about a mother searching for her missing son and the mysterious circumstances which unfold from there. Snook spoke about how being a mom added to her perspective on the role.
Yeah, I was only able to draw on that for my own experiences or my, I've never lost her at all, but the imagination, the world building of that, what it would be like to have the worst thing happen.
Previously starring as Shiv Roy on Succession, she shared what she was looking for in projects following the hit series.
I've been really kind of conscious about putting Succession in a different box. Like, it's not a thing that can ever be topped or compared with, or that was such an amazing experience that was career changing.
And you're also an EP on this for the first time. So what is sort of a takeaway that you can bring to whatever project you do next?
When you're an EP on every project is a different way of inhabiting that role. For me, what was really important was setting a culture on set and to have a kind of everyone's welcome equality.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
Well, let's go back, if you don't mind. Let's go back to Little Phil. Let's go back to, you know, growing up, where you were at, because you were in Kentucky, right?
Kentucky.
What was life like when you were first growing up? Brothers, sisters, what was life like growing up in your young years?
Well, we had, you know, we had eight kids. My mom did.
Wow.
Yeah. Kids. I was born on a tobacco farm in Springfield, Kentucky. The day my dad came in from getting the cows and all that really early in the morning, and now it's 5:30 or 6 and we're starting to eat breakfast. He looks at my mom and says, well, I won't even say it the way he said it because he had a way about him. He goes, mother, we're moving. And that was one of the happiest days of my life.
Wow. Man. What number? Okay, so there's eight kids. You're number what?
Yes.
In that
I was number five.
Number five. Okay, so you're middle of the pack.
Three girls.
Yeah, you're middle of the pack. What, I mean, those early years when you remember, were you working in those fields? Were you, like, milking cows? What were you doing?
Well, you know, I was so young when we finally left the farm, and I was out in the fields. I was in the tobacco barn. Yeah, I didn't milk cows, but I sure knew how to, because, you know, we had to learn that. And it was, you know, when we did have free time to play, because as my youngest brother once said to my mom, Mom, how come you had eight kids? And she goes, well, the doctor said I couldn't have any more. So I guess she was planning on keeping it going or whatever. But, you know, just.
So when you moved, where did you move?
We moved to Louisville. We were in Springfield, so we moved to Louisville. And my dad and mom both took jobs in factories because that made more sense and was a better way of life for them and, of course, for the kids, too.
Were you playing ball back then, or were you like a geek? Were you going to school? I mean, what, just had the perfect balance? I mean, what was it like?
Well, was I playing sports? Yes, every day. Just, you know, even at a really young age, I remember going outside if we had 20 minutes before dinner or whatever and playing some type of ball or chasing and tackling and maybe getting in them every once in a while, put the boxing gloves on. And for me, I'd go out there and get beat up because they were a little older than me. But yes, sports was a huge part of our family. It was mostly, I would say, overall, the focus was on baseball. My dad was a good baseball player, kind of traveled a little bit as he was growing up and, you know, kind of like Field of Dreams. He was going to Iowa and all these different places and staying with the family and playing baseball every single night. So he loved baseball. And me and my youngest brother, really the only two of the five boys that liked football so much, we were going to play it at least all the way through high school.
So when did you figure out, yeah, I can throw this ball. When did that happen? Because, I mean, when you're young, the ball's so big, it's kind of hard to get a grip on it. But then you start to grow into your body and get big enough. But when did you figure out, did you figure that maybe out playing baseball that, hey, I can throw this, I can throw it pretty far?
Oh, yeah. Well, having brothers older than me, three older brothers who were all baseball players, you know, we were indoctrinated very early. And I think, you know, that, of course, helped me be in baseball most of the time, probably the best player out there. But, you know, I had such great help. When we had spare time, we would play baseball games. Right. We would take batting practice. We had enough field as hell. My two younger sisters sometimes would join us and get in the outfield. And I got to tell you, they were not fortunate. They were really, really good athletes, but there was no women's sports then.
Right.
And yeah, no softball, no nothing. They had a flag football game once a year or something like that. But, you know, I knew early in life, Jason, that I don't know when you determine and saw your future and what you do and everything in politics. I just know early in life, I go, wow, I just want to be a pro. I don't care what sport. And generally, everybody thought I was going to be in baseball. But every year that went by, football went up a little bit and baseball came down a little bit. There was just something about football, I think, because, one, I was a quarterback. I loved throwing. And two, it's just so hard. I mean, I think that's part of the allure to it. It is just really hard.
Yeah.
So as I was a sophomore, after my sophomore year in college, I told my dad, I said, look, I'm going to quit playing baseball because I would have to work in the summer.
Right.
Play baseball games on the weekend, and it was just, it was too much. And he was very disappointed. He goes, I trust you. I think you know what you're doing. And I go, well, I think I know, but we'll see. Because even after my sophomore year in college, Jason, I had a really good feeling that I was going to be drafted and drafted high. I could already feel it. Scouts would come in to watch some of our players at Morehead State. They would say, how old is the quarterback? And they go, oh, he's a sophomore. They go, oh, well, we'll be back. Oh. And that's what was part of the reason why I said, I got to drop baseball, make my life a little simpler, and hopefully play pro football one day.
Well, what was your favorite team back then?
In football?
Yeah.
Oh, Cleveland Browns, because that was our local team, believe it or not. You know, there was no Cincinnati Bengals in. Jim
right.
Brown,
right.
My gosh, young age. Cleveland, there they are. And if they were losing, my dad go, get out of the house. Get out in the front yard and play, Ron. Because, you know, you guys are jinxed.
Wait, what was the first NFL game you went to?
The one I played in.
That was your first NFL experience?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay, so go back to high school.
Quite a shock. To go up and get under center, and literally about 4 feet from me was Jack Lambert. And Mean Joe Green was 2 feet from me. And I'm just going, oh, my gosh, could we just take a time out and get some autographs here? Because this is pretty unbelievable.
Somebody taking a picture here? Yeah.
So there's Jack Lambert. And the first thing I said, he goes, oh, my, he's really tall. And he's skinny,
right.
But he was a great, great, well, Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
So he starts barking out the orders to the defense, and I go, oh, my God, he's got no teeth either.
Or did they knew you were a rookie, right? Were they yelling at you,
oh,
hey,
yeah,
rookie,
yeah.
Hey.
Mean Joe Green said something to me in the game. We jumped off sides the first two plays of the game when I was in. And he looks at me, goes, hey, QB, now, listen, if you guys don't go on that first sound over there, I don't know if you're ever going to get a playoff. And just, Mitchell Green's talking to me. What's really cool about that, 8 years later, he's coaching with Chuck Noll with the Steelers. And after the game, he comes over and puts his arm around me. He goes, my boy, you sure have grown up.
That is a good moment. That is a good moment.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It's like, oh, my gosh, he knows who I am. It was really exciting. So, but, hey, here, I wanted to ask you this when we were at that function. And so you kicked at BYU. You didn't kick straight on. You were sideline,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was a soccer kid. I didn't kick my first football until the vice principal at our high school, Chaparral High School, Scottsdale, Arizona, pretty big school, like 2,500 students, and they said, hey, we need a kicker. We don't have anybody. And back then, nobody really focused on kicking. Like usually some linebacker who had a big, you know, he was this burly guy, and he'd get back there and whack it as hard as he could. But, and so that was like on a Tuesday. And so he asked all these people on the soccer team. I was the only one to show up. So I made it. And then our first game, we were terrible. We were an awful team. We played against Mesa, and we lost like 55-0. But I got two kicks. I got the kickoff at the beginning of the half. Right. And then I had one field goal attempt, which was, as I recall it, it was way back. It was like 55 yards. I mean, it was really long. And I put it up, and I missed. But I had whacked this ball pretty good. And after one miss and one kickoff, I got three colleges started sending me letters. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what if I actually made one of these? Wow. If I actually made one, maybe I could. And so, you know, that adage of focus determines reality. Somehow, some way, I just thought, yeah, I can do this. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with Phil Sims right after this.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis, to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Get into the holiday spirit at the Shasta College Country Christmas Fair and Tree Sale. Join us Saturday and Sunday, December 6th and 7th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Shasta College Farm. Pick up the perfect Christmas tree, shop for unique holiday gifts, and enjoy festive activities. Make holiday crafts with your children or write a letter to Santa and even meet Father Christmas. Military and first responders receive a special tree discount at checkout. Don't miss this warm and welcoming holiday tradition at the Shasta College Farm.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Out here, Christmas isn't found in bright lights or fancy gifts. It's in the hands that help, the hearts that give, and the neighbors who always show up when it matters most. At Grange Co-op, we're more than a store. We're a family of farmers, friends, and believers who never stop hoping for a better tomorrow. This season, let's gather close and celebrate what truly matters. Love, community, and the magic of being together. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from Grange Co-op.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Jason in the house.
I worry because kids aren't playing enough different sports.
No.
And, you know, now it gets that, you know, time of high school. If you're not 6'7" and can shoot the lights out, you just don't even make your basketball team. And there's so many kids, I think, that grow up with sport. They love sport. And they, I credit my passion for soccer and then kicking footballs to keeping me out of trouble, but learning so much about life and lessons and how to get along. There's so many valuable lessons. What were those for you? And what do you hope your grandkids and others, you know, kind of learn from sport along the way?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the great thing about, well, all sports is that it, you are part of a unit or a team, and success with the team is a great thing. How to get along socially with many different, you know, economic positions, just everything. It's just, it's everything when you talk about football, even baseball, which I played a lot. I could have played basketball too. My dad said, hey, two sports. And we all had paper routes growing up, all my brothers. And early, but we had to do it in the afternoon too. So he would say, and you're going to work, you know, things like that. But the lessons in sports are just so great because it's tough trying to be part, trying to have success. And that just carries over into whatever you do. I mean, you work hard at your job. I know that. Look, I don't even fool around. I tell people, yeah, I work hard at it. It's a great thing to work hard at. I love it. And I want to tell the truth about the players and coaches. I think organized sports and especially team sports, man, it's great for all kids. I mean, men, women, whatever.
But and you've probably been to some games. I certainly have. Where
sure. Oh, sometimes I know a lot of them.
Well, but the parents, come on. There's a balance there between rooting for your kid and just being so over the top that, I mean, every year we run stories on Fox about parents losing control, getting in fights on the sidelines. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, sixth graders playing whatever sport it is. So,
well, the two sports, Jason, that do it, that it's most common in my eyes, it's baseball and basketball. You know, in football, I mean, let's be, hey, it's just scrums. How can you tell whatever?
Right.
I'll tell you a story here. So the football aspect of it, one, now when I go over and throw with quarterbacks and stuff, I see place kickers and long snappers working really hard with coaches during the off seasons because that's a new place for a scholarship and where some guys who are athletically are just not good enough to play another position sometimes. That's a good out for them. They want to be part of it. The centers, I mean, there's camps all over the country about snapping the football. And, you know, it's like being in the NFL. Once you get in the NFL and you show everybody and you get a chance to be the long snapper, if you do it well, you'll be there a long, long time.
No, we were a little ahead of our time. Lavelle Edwards had a guy named Jay Shumway, great guy, and he was the deep snapper. He said, oh, he just little deep snaps. I said, okay, well, that means that he's out there for the punter. He's out there for the place kicker. And if he screws up, everybody knows it. It is the most horrific thing, right? But then he played such a valuable position that was a dedicated scholarship. And most teams have figured that out now, but boy, back in the day they didn't.
Hey, listen, on Saturdays as I watch college football and kind of watch certain players and all that, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying this because I'm talking to you. When a big kick is coming up, even in the pros, I get nervous because I just don't want them to miss because of what goes with it so many times. It's just such a high and an extreme low because it seems like every game you watch, especially the competition in college, in the pros, that so many of the games come down to the place kicker. And
I got a funny story for you. So there's a kicking camp, and these are a few college kickers and a few pro kickers at the University of Colorado just for like 3 days. We got invited by one of the NFL kickers. I think it was Leahy. Anyway, he gets invited over, and we're all in this little huddle, and he says, all right, I'm going to tell you the secret to being a long-lasting, successful place kicker. And we're all on the edge of our seats, you know, sitting on our helmets like, all right, what's the secret sauce? And he said, now listen, at some point in your career, you're going to actually miss a kick. It's going to happen. You're going to miss. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up, and as dramatically as they can, I want you to take your hand above your head with your finger pointed, and I want you to point at the holder, and I want you to tell them the truth. And I want you to yell, and I want you to say, that was my fault. That was my fault. But you know what? Up in the press box, there's going to be somebody that said, whoa, must have been a bad hold down there. And then everybody wins. You don't get blamed for it. The colder knows it was your fault, but that's the secret. That was his secret to success.
Oh, I got to ask you this too, because I played for Coach Bill Parcells for 8 years, and he just had a unique way of talking and teaching everybody. Right. But if it was a big drive and we got down, let's say, to the 10 or 15 yard line, and the kicker misses the kick for the field goal, as they were coming to the sidelines, man, would he let them have it.
Yeah, that's helpful.
I was mad because we drove 80 yards and we got no points. I'm like, I need some points to feel good. And I'm standing behind him, and he's yelling at the kicker. And I kind of go, he starts to laugh a little. He turns around, looks at me, and I can't tell you exactly what he said because it was really brutal. He goes, what is there? Is there a rule that says I can't yell at the dang kicker? And I go, no, coach.
Well, most coaches don't know how to handle the kicker, right? They don't understand it. They don't know what to teach them. And, you know, it's a different thing. It's a different – Lavelle Edwards used to use all these golf analogies, and I finally told him, I said, coach, I don't golf. I don't know what you're talking about between a wedge and a nine iron. Like, I just don't get it. I golf now, but I didn't back then. And he's like, oh, geez, you got to be kidding me. I've been telling you this for how long, and you don't even know golf? Sorry, coach, I don't know it.
Man, how many years did he coach at BYU?
Decades, yeah.
Man, him, and I forgot the coach's name now. I've talked to him a couple times on the phone.
Kalani Sitake, awesome.
He seems like he's going to be there about 40 years, too.
Yeah. You're listening to Jason in the House. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
More Jason in the House next.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime.
Our entry-level data plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A New Hampshire cold case murder solved half a century after the crime. The person responsible, the prime suspect all along, who walked free because of a botched FBI report. 22-year-old Judith Lord was found dead inside her Concord apartment May 20th, 1975, months after moving in with her husband and baby. A building manager found her dead in a bed upstairs, her infant son alive in his crib in the next room. An autopsy showed Lord died of homicidal strangulation. She had also been sexually assaulted after clearing her husband, who had recently moved out after assaulting her. Investigators eyed Lord's neighbor, Ernest Theodore Gable, who was 24 at the time. But a flawed FBI hair analysis incorrectly excluded Gable as a suspect, even though his fingerprints were found at the scene and witnesses said Lord feared him. Gable was never charged and died in 1987. He was stabbed in Los Angeles. The attorney general said if he were still alive, he'd be facing a first-degree murder charge. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with the cast of Peacock's new mystery whodunit series, All Her Fault, starring Sarah Snook as a mother searching for her missing son as mysterious circumstances unfold. Jake Lacy and Jay Ellis discussed how it's a series where intrigue starts right away.
You dive right in and then are sort of left going like, it could be any of these people or someone else. I immediately wanted to jump to like to page 48 or whatever it is of that pilot, that first episode, to figure out like, well, where do we go from here?
Abby Elliott and Daniel Monks have tips for those ready to guess along.
There's so many subtle moments throughout, you know, the first few episodes. You know, if you blink, you might miss it.
Watch with friends or with people, family members, partners. It's very similar to like watching The Traitors. It's like, arguing and debating over who you think what or how.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Your NFL experience. I mean, what an incredible thrill. I mean, so let's go back. You go into high school. Did you get heavily recruited out of high school? Or did you know, you didn't go to USC or UCLA or some big, huge school.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, how did you end up at where you did in college? And right. I mean, obviously everything worked out well because you thrived and you got recruited and you got drafted and, you know, you were the Super Bowl MVP, for goodness sake.
You know, it was a different world back then. So we're talking about what, 1973 or four?
Yeah.
And, you know, there was no film. You know, I never saw, not once in all the years I played in high school, did we ever watch a film of us playing or the team we were playing or anything. There was no such thing. And so it was just every week, we'll just do what we do. Hope it works against whoever we're playing. And we don't even know what they do. But I was not heavily recruited. I was recruited much, much more in baseball than I was football. But I wanted to go play football, and I even said to a few schools that I don't think they were ever going to offer me, but I said, can I play baseball too during the spring? And they go, hey, no. We're not going to give you a baseball scholarship till you can play football. And so, oh, okay, you know, I was very shy in high school. But Morehead State was really the only one that offered me a full scholarship.
What was that like when you... So you got a sense, scouts are coming out, you're going to get you're going to get drafted, right?
Right.
What was that moment like? I mean, that's got to be amazing, right?
It was awesome. It was unbelievable. You know, after my junior year, I had a really big junior year, you know, for back then. You know, now it'd be, you wouldn't last three games because you got to throw for more yards than we did, but we threw for a lot and for that era. But spring practice is over my junior year. One of the coaches we had moved on to the University of Kentucky. And when I was in high school, I played against him, his team, because he was the head coach of one of the big Catholic schools in Louisville. And they were very good, and we scrimmaged them, they would destroy us. But he did spend 1 year in Morehead State, and we knew each other, of course. Whatever, all the scouts are at Kentucky doing their players. And one of the head scouts, back then, you scouted for like eight different NFL teams. And the guy goes to him, oh, man, I got to go to Morehead State. There can't be anything down there. I'm not going. And the coach, oh, let me think of his name. I can see him. Bill Glazer. He says, no, I think you better go. And the guy goes, why? They got a quarterback you got to look at. And so the guy comes down to visit me. And illegally, I go out and throw for him on the field. He says,
yeah, like I did. Yeah, exactly.
And I said, sure, I'll do it. I don't care. Throwing? Oh, wow, it's really going to be rough. And, you know, I'm kind of. So I go out and I probably throw 10 passes. And he goes, oh, my gosh, I've seen enough. And I said, really? That's all you want to see? He goes, well, show me how far you can throw one. So I did that. He measured it and all the whole thing. He goes, all right, where's your head coach? Come with me. We go and see the head coach. And he goes, coach, when I write this report up about your quarterback, you're going to have people here every single day watching him. I just want to warn you, get a lot of coffee and a lot of donuts because, you know, but he did it. And of course, I realized, wow, it's going to happen for me basically no matter how I played my senior year. Because even for the pros back then, Jason, they had to come to our place to watch film of me. You know, now you could tell me BYU's quarterback. I could watch every one of his throws here in the next hour on my computer. So it was a different era. And that helped me get drafted as high as I did, too.
What do you credit?
Everybody came down to work me out. I mean, it was almost every day. And it was awesome. You know,
So
you, I'm telling you, I go out and throw. If they came to look at you, you go, oh, you want me to kick some? Okay, that's pretty cool, because that's what I do.
Yeah, did that every day anyway. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
but it was really, my last thing is, it was really great. What's great about it, I met Joe Gibbs. These are assistant. Bill Walsh had just taken the job with the 49. I mean, I got to meet all these head coaches and everything. That was what, and they were all, of course, very nice. And it was just, that was a big thrill. You know, to tell people, hey, Bill Walsh is coming in. I need receivers. Yeah, I had 10 of them out there. So it was a great experience for a lot of my friends and, of course, for me, too.
Yeah, but Bill Walsh, it was an honor. He came up to our camp because, you know, we were winning so many games. And
sure.
He came out to practice. And then he said one time, he said, so what do you do to practice? And I said, well, I put garbage cans out about 60 yards and I try to kick the ball in the garbage can. He's like, you can do that? And I said, yeah, I can do that. and so then I said, oh, you know, you're just kicking from point A to point B. And so you try to just hit the post on purpose. He said, I don't like that drill. And I said, no, I do it on purpose. And things like that. It was really neat. But I was not, I was a good college kicker. I was not good enough to play in the pros. I kicked with enough guys in the pros to know that they could kick it that much higher, that much further. But what a great way to go through college. But what was the difference, Phil? You won the Super Bowl. You were the Super Bowl MVP. And you also had longevity. You weren't some flash in the pan and just kind of did it one year and, wow, you know, it was this magic mix of people.
Oh.
You did this consistently over a long period of time. What was it? What's the difference between what you did and what a lot of others tried to do and just, quite frankly, weren't able to do it?
Yeah, well, there's many, you know what's involved. As long as they think you can be productive, they're going to hang on to you.
Right.
So that's one thing, you know, and it, we had success, so that gave me a chance to even hang on a little longer because good teams were winning. They don't want to change things. And finally, when it did end, it ended really, it was the first year of the salary cap. That's what cost me my job. I was all pro that year. My last year, my 15th year, had a great year. We were expected to lose basically every game. Dan Reeves comes in as the new coach, and we go to the playoffs, and we play the Dallas Cowboys in overtime. Mm. And if we win the game, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. Not the next week, but I just go, nobody can come in our house to Giant Stadium, the cold and the wind, and deal with it. We could. And we lost in overtime to the Cowboys, and that offseason, I was down there working out one day, and Dan Reeves wanted to see me. I walk in there. Hey, coach, what's going on? I figured he wanted me to sign some footballs because he was always did a lot of great things for charities. He goes, Phil, I got some really bad news for you. I said, yeah. Oh, well, what? He goes, we're going to release you today.
Mm.
And I just went, what? After the year that we had, and it wasn't his decision. So
yeah.
It was the first year of the salary cap. I had a first round quarterback behind me. They wanted him to get rid of my money. And let's see what our young quarterback can do, too. So they let quite a few of us go. I'm going to say 6 or 8 good players on the team were pushed out the door because of salary. And, you know, Jason, the salaries we made, come on. Dak Prescott's going to make more money just this past week than I probably made in 15 years. So that's the way it is. That's the NFL. But
let me ask you about 2 quick questions, and then I got to ask you some rapid questions. So. My understanding is you're credited as being the first person. You win the Super Bowl, and then you turn to the camera and you say, "I'm going to Disney." That happened first with you.
Yes, yeah. So I was the first one. Man, it took him a long time to talk me into it. I go, "Wow, what are we talking about? A commercial?" After I don't want that in my head, and my agent just kept beating me. Oh, come on, do it; it'll be good. Of course, now I'm very glad I did it because it gets played all the time and. People still talk. We win the Super Bowl. My wife and I wake up Monday morning. Of course, we're really happy. And everybody's calling, hey, you know, that commercial. Hey, you know, we could win the game. You want to talk about the game? No, you want to talk about the commercial. So, it was so unique. It took weeks for it to die down. So, but it was crazy to win the game that you dream of. And I'm walking across the field shooting a commercial. And, well, I don't know.
It came off well. It came off well. I mean, I obviously it became a thing and that because, yeah. And tell me about the I read online about you when you retired your number there.
Okay.
And you decided you wanted to throw one more pass with the jersey on. Tell everybody that story.
Well, okay, yeah. I went to the stadium, had a lot of friends from Kentucky come up. All my coaches were there, all that. And, you know, and they want you to make a speech. I go, oh, man, you know, come on. Oh, what's the speech? So I told my young son at the time, Christopher, who's now 45, but I said, you know, instead of me doing all this, let me say a few words. And then if I tell you to run down the field as far as you can, I'm just going to air one out. He goes, oh, yeah, I'll do it, Dad. I'll do it. And, of course, you know, he's good at it. He could have handled it. But right as I was walking on the field, I see Lawrence Taylor. And I think, wow, throwing it to Lawrence would be really cool. So I grab him, and I said, man, you want? Can you do me a favor? When I say, will you run down the field, and I'll throw you a long pass and everything, you can catch it, and, you know, the fans will love that. He goes, okay, I will. But I just want you to know, I've had quite a few beers. So he's got a blazer on, he's got dress shoes on, and I say, go, and he's kind of going down there slow, and I don't throw the ball, I throw a nice spiral, but it's a little going to be over his right shoulder, from the inside over his right shoulder, and it was a really tough catch, but he made it, and man, if he wouldn't have caught it, you know, that would have been played a lot.
Phil Sims, really, really do appreciate. Glad we met at that event there in Utah. Liberty Village, if you have a chance, check it out. It's really an amazing project. The Balance of Nature people doing a wonderful job, putting a lot of money and resources into it. And I'm glad it brought us together. I had a chance to meet you. And thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Love being on with you. Love meeting you and everything. And, of course, when I see you on TV now, I go, let me see what he's wearing. Okay. I like it a lot. Okay.
That's what kickers have time to do. Go figure out what they're
doing. It's all good. But thank you for having me on. It really, it's an honor to talk to you. And when I met you, you know, people said, oh, I said, oh, shoot. It was great. You know, I watch a lot of news on TV. I don't want to get too wound up sometimes about anything, but I enjoy watching it and hearing it and trying to learn a little. That's for sure.
As always, can't thank Phil enough for his generosity and his time. Pleasure to meet him. Honor to meet him. Really just a great guy. I would really appreciate it if you could rate the podcast. That's helpful. And subscribe to it. It comes out every Monday. You just subscribe to it and it just pops up. It's only once a week. We don't bombard you with this stuff. But subscribe to it. I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Hope you had a wonderful holiday. Can't get ready enough soon enough for all the Christmas festivities. Maybe you celebrate Hanukkah. I don't know what your holiday of choice is. Mine happens to be Christmas, and I love this time of year. Thanks again for listening to the Jason in the House podcast. Join us again. I'm Jason Chaffetz, and this has been Jason in the House.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
Out here, Christmas isn't found in bright lights or fancy gifts. It's in the hands that help, the hearts that give, and the neighbors who always show up when it matters most. At Grange Co-op, we're more than a store. We're a family of farmers, friends, and believers who never stop hoping for a better tomorrow. This season, let's gather close and celebrate what truly matters. Love, community, and the magic of being together. Merry Christmas and happy holidays from Grange Co-op.
Get into the holiday spirit at the Shasta College Country Christmas Fair and Tree Sale. Join us Saturday and Sunday, December 6th and 7th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Shasta College Farm. Pick up the perfect Christmas tree. Shop for unique holiday gifts and enjoy festive activities. Make holiday crafts with your children or write a letter to Santa and even meet Father Christmas. Military and first responders receive a special tree discount at checkout. Don't miss this warm and welcoming holiday tradition at the Shasta College Farm.
The
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. In a recent poll, a solid majority favors President Trump's proposal to give tariff refund checks to income-qualifying Americans.
President Trump has suggested the idea of providing what he's termed tariff dividend payments of $2,000 to low- and middle-income Americans. The latest Rasmussen Report's national survey finds 62% of likely U.S. voters approve of that idea, funded by revenue from the tariffs. That includes 34% who strongly approve of the idea. 29% disapprove. George Williams, Washington.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says 2026 is when the U.S. economy will really take off thanks to Trump administration economic policies.
We've had two 4% quarters before the Schumer shutdown. We're going to go back to that. So not only are we going to have great growth, but it's going to be low inflationary growth. Mm-hmm. And stock market obviously is following, but next year is going to be the year for Main Street as all this kicks in.
Bessent made his predictions during last week's final cabinet meeting of the year. Russia launched a major missile and drone attack on Ukraine this weekend, targeting energy infrastructure and triggering air raid alerts. Ukrainian forces shot down many of the drones and missiles, but many got through as well, wounding at least 8 people and killing 4. The Zaporizhia nuclear power plant temporarily lost power during the assault. Meanwhile, President Vladimir Zelensky is discussing peace possibilities with American officials in Florida aimed at ending the nearly 4-year-old war. California officials warning foragers about a deadly outbreak linked to wild mushrooms. The state poison control system has identified 21 cases of amatoxin poisoning, likely from death cap mushrooms, which look like the kind you can eat. One person has died. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my 2 sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-226-5454. That's 800-226-5454. 800-226-5454.
Netflix has struck a deal to buy Warner Brothers Discovery, the Hollywood giant behind Harry Potter and HBO Max. The $72 billion deal announced this past week would bring together 2 of the biggest players in TV and film and potentially reshape the entertainment industry. If approved by regulators, the merger would put 2 of the world's biggest streaming services under the same ownership. But the deal to acquire Warner Brothers by Netflix is sparking reaction from the worlds of entertainment, politics, and business, and much of it is negative. Michael O'Leary, the CEO of Cinema United, warns that Netflix model could harm theaters and communities. Senator Elizabeth Warren calls the deal an anti-monopoly nightmare, fearing higher prices and a lot fewer choices for consumers. Former Warner Media CEO Jason Kilar believes it will reduce competition, and the Producers Guild of America is also giving thumbs down. News and analysis at townhall.com. Beginning this week, Australia enforces its social media rules governing minors.
Australia is set to enforce its new age limit from December 10, requiring major platforms to close underage accounts and report back each month on how many they've removed. Communications Minister Annika Wells said the platforms could face fines of up to $33 million if they fail to take reasonable steps to remove these accounts. The rule applies to platforms including Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, and YouTube, with Twitch recently added to the list. Critics argue, though, that the law doesn't improve online safety. A court challenge is pending, but the government insists the law will proceed as planned. I'm Nayan Kim.
Today is Sunday, December the 7th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including Major League Baseball Hall of Famer Johnny Bench. He is 78 years old. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Fox News Podcasts presents the Brett Baer Podcasts with Fox News Chief Political Anchor Brett Baer.
Henry Cuellar is a well-respected member of the House of Representatives, a beloved representative down in Laredo and across South Texas. And in my view, has been achieved.
I am concerned about President Trump's pardons all over, his pardoning of those who've been involved in tax evasion and fraud is appalling. But I'll let Mr. Cuellar speak for himself on this one.
He's a respected person. He was treated very badly because he said that people should not be allowed to pour into our country. And he was right. He didn't like open borders. He didn't. He was on the border. You know, he represents a very respected man. He represents the people on the border. And he saw what was happening. And as soon as he made that statement, I then said, I'll bet he gets indicted. And that's what happened.
President Trump has pardoned Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar of Texas and his wife. They were indicted last year by the Biden administration Justice Department. Tonight we hear from Congressman Cuellar directly here on set. Congressman, thanks for coming over.
Thank you so much.
A big day for you. The president posted on Truth Social, for years the Biden administration weaponized the justice system against their political opponents and anyone who disagreed with them. One of the clearest examples of this was when Crooked Joe used the FBI and DOJ to take out a member of his own party after highly respected Congressman Henry Cuellar bravely spoke out against open borders and the Biden border catastrophe. I want to get your reaction. Was this a surprise?
It was. You know, let me tell you, I got a text from somebody asked me about the pardon. I said, what pardon are you talking about? And then they sent me a copy of that. I do want to thank the president. I want to thank President Trump for pardoning him. And of course, I certainly want to say God has been good to my wife, to my family. And but I'll certainly say it again. Thank you, President Trump.
You know, as we put up the charges here, you were indicted by the Department of Justice in 24 on counts of bribery, conspiracy, money laundering. You were accused, along with your wife, of accepting nearly $600,000 in bribes from a company tied to the Azerbaijan government and a bank headquartered in Mexico City. You've denied this.
Yes, absolutely. Look, first of all, before any work was done by my wife, I got a legal opinion. Number one. Number two, two ethics opinions before on that. And I would say there was not a single witness that talked about a quid pro quo. Not one. Not one single witness. But I will tell you also, I did speak against the Biden administration about open borders. My district didn't like it.
And you think that's what this was about?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It was weaponized. Look, how do they not take in consideration, you know, the legal opinions and other things? How do they do this 40 days? If you remember, the far left came after me where they spent over $20 million. How do they do this? Is 40 days before an election and other things. And I'll be talking about this later on a lot more in detail, but not a single witness had any talked about any quid pro quo. Not one.
So you're obviously from a district, as we put up the district down there in Texas, where Republicans thought, hey, you know, with your charges, this could be something that turns around for Republicans. And if you look at the balance of power, just from a political standpoint, right now, 219 to 213, Politico writes it this way. Henry Cuellar will seek re-election as Democrat after Trump pardon. Trump's glowing praise of the veteran Texas lawmakers shocked Republicans who have tried to defeat him for years. Are you running for re-election as a Democrat?
Look, I'm a conservative Democrat, and I work across the lines, and I want to see the president succeed, President Trump, and it's good for the country, and I will work with anybody. Now, we might have some differences, but if I can work with him, I will work with President Trump.
But you're going to file as a Democrat in that district.
That is correct. And as I told some of my Republican friends, I think I vote better than some of the Republicans in the caucus.
But you do want the Democrats to win the majority.
Yes, of course. But again, I am focused on my election, and I will work bipartisan with anybody.
Do you think the president expects something from this? You know, for the people who say there has to be some quid pro quo, there has to be something, like he expects a vote, he expects a change in party, something happened. That's what the critics out there would look at this and say.
Look, of course, that's what the critics are going to say.
Yeah. Do you think he expects something?
No. Look, you know, the president, look, I really felt for him on some of the charges they filed against him. I think it was very unfair. Anybody that goes through this weaponization like they did on President Trump and certainly on myself, I don't want to wish anybody to go through this type of weaponization.
You had problems with your Democratic colleagues on the issue of immigration numerous times, and you fought that.
And I will still probably
and
have
you
some
probably
problems.
Will. But how do you think your Democratic colleagues are going to accept this, talk about this? You heard a couple of them there.
Well, you know, I think Hakeem, was fine. Lloyd Doggett, I love Lloyd Doggett, but Lloyd Doggett is Lloyd Doggett, and that's all I got to say about Lloyd Doggett. We had differences before. Too bad he didn't say anything nice about it. But again, look, the liberal Democrats are still going to have a problem with me because they, you know, some of them don't believe in bipartisanship. I work with Republicans. In fact, in my elections, the reason I win is because I get the independents and I get the modern Republicans to cross over, and I will get that again.
But just two more things. One is, if you want the Democrats to have the majority, you know that the Democrats really will try to push back and overturn a lot of the president's policies.
Well, you know, it depends. You know, there are some things that I agree with the president. Like, for example, if you want to deport criminals, I'm with you. I'll stand with you. I support detention beds and all that. But, you know, issues like terrorists, I think we need to be a little careful and review certain things. So there'll be some things that I have supported the administration on. You know, it just depends. I don't want to go through a laundry
list
of things.
The issue.
It just depends on the issue.
On the issue of pardons, you've been in Congress for a long time. You know how this process usually has worked, that there's a long process. There's a pardon system. There's a group that weighs in on it. How did this come about, do you think? Do you think there was a process here, or do you think that the president, he obviously has the constitutional authority, but people who question the process?
Look, I'm not going to second guess the president except to say to the president, President Trump, thank you.
That's the message. Congressman Cuellar, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much. Good seeing you again.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Sarah Snook, who leads Peacock's All Her Fault, about a mother searching for her missing son and the mysterious circumstances which unfold from there. Snook spoke about how being a mom added to her perspective on the role.
Yeah, I was only able to draw on that for my own experiences, or my, I've never lost her at all, but the imagination, the world building of that, what it would be like to have the worst thing happen.
Previously starring as Shiv Roy on Succession, she shared what she was looking for in projects following the hit series.
I've been really kind of conscious about putting Succession in a different box. Like, it's not a thing that can ever be topped or compared with, or that was such an amazing experience that was career changing.
And you're also an EP on this for the first time. So what is sort of a takeaway that you can bring to whatever project you do next?
When you're an EP on every project is a different way of inhabiting that role. For me, what was really important was setting a culture on set and to have a kind of everyone's welcome equality.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
The Bible promises that God is close to the brokenhearted, that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Well, many say it is because churches need to minister more to the souls sitting in the pews. Author and evangelist Nick Bojicic.
A lot of us are not really having an honest audit, check, and inventory of even just the brokenhearted within the four walls of the church, let alone trying to save the lost.
For 20 years, Bojicic has ministered to those in pain, knowing what it feels like to be angry with God over life circumstances. Born with no arms or legs, he almost committed suicide as a child, but the grace of God intervened. His book, Champions for the Brokenhearted, shows how to have faith in God's purpose and plan.
That's the epiphany, the revelation of realizing, I don't need to know the plan, I just need to believe that he has one.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
After a Soviet arms buildup in Cuba, President John Kennedy addressed the American people with the world on the brink.
This sudden, clandestine decision to station strategic weapons for the first time outside of Soviet soil is a deliberately provocative and unjustified change in the status quo, which cannot be accepted by this country if our courage and our commitments are ever to be trusted again by either friend or foe. The 1930s taught us a clear lesson. Aggressive conduct, if allowed to go unchecked and unchallenged, ultimately leads to war. This nation is opposed to war. We are also true to our word. Our unswerving objective, therefore, must be to prevent the use of these missiles against this or any other country, and to secure their withdrawal or elimination from the Western Hemisphere.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
DoD regulations state that any classified information has to be labeled with its classification, whether classified secret or top secret.
What's not classified is that it was an incredibly successful mission against the Houthis.
Okay, so it was classified. So are you asserting, are you trying to say that the information was unclassified?
I'm not
okay,
trying to
say
that.
That's what I thought. You're not saying that. So you took classified information from Central Command that had a classification marking on it, because that's what's required by DoD regulations, and you put it on an unclassified system.
Pete Hegseth is the most unqualified Secretary of Defense in American history. The sooner he's gone, the better off the American people.
He wanted to show off to his buddies on the National Security Council, ooh, look what I just heard. I just got this cool information. I'm going to share it with you. There are ways. There are also devices, as you know, that you can share classified information that he should have had access to.
All of this, as an Inspector General's report says, the Secretary of War used the Signal app and put personnel in danger in that exchange. The Pentagon spokesperson saying this IG's report actually exonerates the Secretary of War. This comes after the analysis of the second strike on this boat, the drug boat off of Venezuela. Senator Mark Rand Mullen, about that, Barack Obama killed hundreds of innocent civilians in drone attacks. Not a word from libs on war crimes. Meanwhile, 70% of Americans support POTUS and SEC war, blowing up narco-terrorists who've poisoned our friends, family members, and neighbors before they reach our shores. We're going to start there with the panel. Let's bring them in. Fox News senior political analyst Juan Williams, Matthew Continetti, scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and Wall Street Journal opinion columnist Annie Lansky, White House reporter for the Wall Street Journal. All right, Annie, this has been quite a week for the Secretary of War as far as the focus, and this IG report obviously going back to the Signal app and the use of that to talk about war plans.
Yeah, that's right, Brett. And if you remember going back to the beginning of the administration, this sort of Signal gate was really one of the first major kind of crises that President Trump faced. And it was one of the first sort of kind of stepping. It was the first time when they put their foot wrong in the administration. And the president was under tremendous pressure to criticize Hegseth and to distance himself from him. And he didn't. Hegseth has survived that. And I don't really see anything in this report, you know, changing that. You know, that being said, Hegseth remains a cabinet secretary who is sort of the subject of a lot of rumors about perhaps will be one of the earlier ones to depart.
Yeah, and it doesn't, you know, the president in the Oval Office today and in the cabinet room, Matthew, doesn't indicate that he has any issues. He's standing by Secretary of War as at this point.
Secretary Hegseth has been amazingly resilient when you consider the attacks on his character that began when he was first nominated, to the Signalgate controversy, to leaks coming out of the Pentagon, now the debate over the second strike on the drug boat. Still, the president sticks with the Secretary of War. Why is it? Well, I think it's pretty simple. He is mission-oriented. He has a mission at the Pentagon to refocus on war fighting, to get the enlistments up, which is happening, to increase morale, and to combat DEI and the green initiatives. He's performing on all those metrics. I think that's why Trump has continued to stick with him.
All right, I want to turn topics to pardons. Today you had the pardon of Henry Cuellar, who came on the show, Juan, and talked about being grateful for that. But notable Biden pardons, you had a slew of them. Now you see the Trump pardons, and they are coming under increasing scrutiny in recent days.
Well, I got now more than 1,600. I mean, it's a lot of people who have been pardoned. And I think the president has made the case that the Biden Justice Department engaged in what he thought was unfair attacks on people, prosecutions, indictments in the case of Cuellar. And he said in the case of Cuellar that the indictment was a payback because Cuellar was critical of the Biden administration's failure to protect the U.S. southern border. Now, the thing about this is when you think about one of the pardons that just happened this week, which was the former Honduran president, that sparked a lot of criticism because it was seen as hypocritical. You're going after drug boats, trying to say that these people are bringing poison into the United States. At the same time, you're pardoning a guy who was seen as running a narco state, pulling drugs into the United States. This seems very odd, not only because Cuellar is a Democrat, but because of the parting the Honduran guy, and it just seems contradictory. You think about 400 tons of coke. That's what he was convicted of.
Yeah, and the president has said this is a president. He was wrongly convicted. That's why he said the pardon, Annie, the Cuellar pardon. Here he is about running for re-election. Take a listen.
You're going to file as a Democrat in that district.
That is correct. And as I told some of my Republican friends, I think I vote better than some of the Republicans in the caucus.
But you do want the Democrats to win the majority.
Yes, of course. But, you know, but again, I am focused on my election and I will work bipartisan with anybody.
Do you think the president expects something from this? You know, for the people who say there has to be some quid pro quo, there has to be something, like he expects a vote, he expects a change in party, something happened. That's what the critics out there would look at this and say.
Look, of course, that's what the critics are going to say.
Yeah. Do you think he expects something?
No. Look, you know, the president, look, I really felt for him on some of the charges they filed against him. I think it was very unfair. Anybody that goes through this weaponization like they did on President Trump and certainly on myself, you know, I don't want to wish anybody to go through this type of weaponization.
There was a little pause there, Annie. So, you know, obviously Republicans looking at that district before this pardon saying, hey, this is our chance to pick up a seat.
Yeah, there's a great interview with him. There's a lot of speculation about maybe this was the beginning of a, you know,
party
exchange,
switch.
Yeah, a party switch of some type. But I think almost going back to Juan's point, it is very hard to kind of make rhyme or reason about why the president is making many of these pardons. But it does show that he is embracing this authority and this power in a way that I have not seen any recent president ever do. And he,
now, the Constitution does give him that authority,
yes,
clearly.
100%. It is very clear in the Constitution. This is not a question of overstepping that boundary at all. But he's just using it differently and more robustly than you've seen other presidents.
I do think there's a common theme, which is if you can connect one of these pardons to the criminalization of politics and or the Biden administration, any action President Biden took, the pardon will be approved. And so this is in many ways the flip side of the lawfare that was unleashed during Biden's presidency, has made Trump very open to pardoning not just Republicans or the people involved in January 6th, but anyone, whether it's the former president of Honduras or a Democratic congressman who was caught up in this criminalization and lawfare campaign.
Do you think Republicans look at maybe the Oval Office meeting with Mamdani and this pardon of Cuellar and saying, wait, we were going to run against Mamdani in New York and right. We are going to pick up this seat in southern Texas. Right. Where are we going here?
I think there might be some questions that's legitimate. You know, I mean, even George Santos, you think back to Santos, you think back to some of these crypto people that have been pardoned, you say, is it a matter of self-interest versus an interest of the Republican Party, especially in that Texas district? You know, President Trump won it by, I think it was +7. And, you know, you would think that he would ask Cuellar to become a Republican.
All right, speaking of winning, the Republican in Tennessee wins, and the president said that it was an affordability determination, that the Republicans are fighting the affordability case. Democrats are obviously saying 26 is leading them to an affordability argument. Where is this, and what's the White House looking at?
Yeah, the White House and the president has been in a lot of different places on affordability. You know, at one point earlier this year, he was saying that Americans need to be ready for their girls just have two dolls, which isn't a place where I think Americans tend to want to be, sort of that sacrifice argument that he was making. But he is doing a wholesale change in the economy with his tariffs. And he and his surrogates have said there's going to be turbulence with that change. They say it's a short period of time. And I think that that is something that Americans heard and are going to continue to feel until tariffs settle out. I will say that the tariffs have not been as sort of devastating to the economy as many analysts initially said. So he has had some luck.
And Matthew, whenever they talk about it, they say 9% inflation versus where we are now.
Well,
that's affordability.
Affordability is a very open-ended abstract term when Democrats use it because they don't want to talk about the inflation that started under Biden. I think what President Trump and the Republicans need to do is focus on the specifics, like that the White House event, lowering the fuel standards that make it easier for cars to come cheaper, talking about the lower price of gasoline, talking about the deals that he's making with the UK and with pharma to lower the cost of prescription drugs. Focus on specifics and you can win the affordability issue.
We'll follow up. Panel, thanks.
On April 9, 1959, NASA named the first group of American astronauts, selected from a list of 110 candidates. In just 2 years, on May 5, 1961, Alan Shepard would become the first American astronaut in a suborbital flight.
Which of these men will be first to orbit the Earth, I cannot tell you. He won't know himself until the day of the flight. From your right, Malcolm S. Carpenter, Leroy G. Cooper, John H. Glenn, Virgil I. Grissom, Walter M. Shearer, Alan B. Shepard, Donald K. Slayton. These, ladies and gentlemen, are the nation's Mercury astronauts.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, I'm Teresa Giudice.
I'm Clay Aiken.
I am Dre DeMatteo.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jill Whelan.
Hey, everybody. It's Billy Baldwin.
It's Patricia Heaton.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Polizzi.
It's Candace Bushnell.
Hey, everyone. It's Henry Golding.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
I'm Ted Lange, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
No other player in history of baseball affected how the game was played more than Babe Ruth. He changed the game from an inside game of scratching for one or two runs to a game of power. His career included 714 home runs. He retired from the game and was elected to the first class in the new Baseball Hall of Fame. With all that, the Babe still wished for more.
I've had three ambitions in my life. One was this, 700 home runs. The other was to play 20 years. And the next one was to be in 10 World Series. I succeeded in one last year, making my 10th World Series. And next year gives me the opportunity to play in 20 years. And if I had 46 home runs, I'll have my 700 home runs, and I'll sure be satisfied with everything.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archive of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Delosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A man in Italy accused of dressing up as his mom to collect her pension. The man, whose name hasn't been released by authorities, is the son of Graziella Dall'Olio, who had died in 2022 at the age of 82. Police say the 57-year-old man, who's a former nurse and currently unemployed, did not report her death to authorities. When Dall'Olio's ID expired, the son allegedly put on makeup, a wig, and her clothes to pose as his mother and renew her ID. However, the agent that was processing the application noticed dark hair on the back of his neck and on his chin and tipped off authorities to the alleged crime. Officers then went to the elderly woman's home address and found her mummified body in the laundry closet room wrapped in sleeping bags. The man is accused of concealing a corpse, fraud against the state, impersonation, and forgery of a public document. He's accused of removing fluids from his mother's body with a syringe to prevent decomposition. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Delosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
People are expecting us to come up with a solution.
I think the average American doesn't care what flavor the legislation is, as long as it takes care of the challenges they have.
If there's going to be a big idea, that will not happen by January 1, 2026.
Whatever your plan is, we've got to bring the cost down.
I have been saying for months that we have got to reach some sort of a solution on premiums.
We just have to, you know, put our best proposal on the table and see how the chips fall.
Well, tonight in our Common Ground segment, we talk about bipartisan legislation designed to extend health care insurance premium tax credits and reduce the deficit. It's called the Fix-It Act. Joining us tonight are two of its primary supporters, California Democratic Congressman Sam Liccardo and California Republican Congressman Kevin Kiley. Thank you both for being here. Congressman Liccardo, first to you. Some of the plans you've said are unrealistic, and that's one of the reasons why you guys are working together to try to put something forward, right?
Well, actually, there are many good plans. The big difference, I think, between ours and the other plans that have been presented is that ours is actually paid for. We found savings, that is, through cutting off the windfalls that insurance companies are making through Medicare Advantage to actually pay for the cost of extending the tax credits.
So this Fix-It Act, Congressman, Affordable Care Act premium tax credit extension for 2 years, caps eligibility at six times the poverty level, $192,000 for a family of four, cracks down on overpayments to Medicare Advantage, to your point, stops fraud by insurance brokers in the program, and the CBO estimates the near-term benefit impact, $55 billion, 10-year fiscal impact, $90 in net savings. You're saying it nets out.
It actually saves us money.
And so is it getting buy-in?
It is, yeah. We keep adding co-sponsors basically every day. We're keeping it bipartisan. We have five Republicans, five Democrats on board right now. And I think it's a compromise that really can achieve the level of bipartisan support that we'll need to get a deal here. Because as Sam was just saying, what's different from what we're proposing and other proposals that are out there is that we do this in a way that is fiscally responsible, that actually saves money, doesn't increase the deficit. It's temporary. And because there's a pay-for, it's inherently limiting in the sense that we're not going to keep extending. We're just providing some runway to find a real long-term solution.
Why can't Senate Democrats get there, Congressman Liccardo?
Well, I would say Senate Democrats and Senate Republicans haven't gotten there. Look, we know that there are a lot of interests here. And part of the challenge, frankly, is that I think a lot of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are frozen by the fact that the White House is frozen. The White House has indicated they might support one, they might not. And that makes it difficult, obviously, to bring folks along. I've had conversations with nearly three dozen Republicans in the House who have expressed pretty strong support for the concept, but they're concerned, I think, about where the president comes down.
It's timing. Washington Post. health insurance costs could spike as bipartisan ACA deal looks less likely. With time dwindling, Senate Democrats still haven't released their plan, which would extend the subsidies for an unknown duration. And House Democrats are pushing for a three-year extension, but it's clear there are not enough Senate Republicans willing to support any extension, especially without significant changes to address GOP concerns about fraud and whether subsidized plans will cover abortion. So the clock is ticking, right, Congressman?
That's right. I mean, we're talking the end of this month, and people are going to see a massive increase in premiums, 22 million people. And who are these people, by the way? And this is a message I have for folks in my own party. A lot of them are the sort of folks that Republicans have been fighting for a long time, like independent contractors who have been really unfairly targeted by the likes of Gavin Newsom in California or the Biden administration, who have impinged on their ability to earn a living. They could see thousands and thousands of dollars of an increase in premium payments, or small business owners and their employees. They rely on the individual market. And by the way, the impacts will be broader than those 22 million, because if people drop out of the insurance market, then you're going to see costs that will apply to 150 million other people who have employer-based plans.
You say targeted by California Governor Gavin Newsom. You have been, because of Prop 50 on District 3.
You
if you look
that.
At the redraw that Prop 50 proposes for your district, it's gone. So what's happening to you?
Well, I'm running for re-election, and I'm confident that I'll win. The challenge is they've chopped my district into six different pieces. So I'm talking with my constituents about what the best path forward is. But you're right. The governor has targeted me in this case, but we're, I think, not going to let that stop us.
So you're California Democrat, California Republican, but you want to do a deal here. Do you think there is more common ground up on Capitol Hill than we acknowledge day to day, or do you think it's as divisive and partisan as it's been?
Well, I think two things can be true. What people are seeing on TV is often true, but look, there are good people on both sides, let's be very clear, who want to work something out and are serious about it. And I appreciate that Kevin came out very early on and said, look, I want to find a solution. And that's why I called him.
Because the costs go up for Democrats, Republicans. It doesn't matter what your party is.
Everybody's impacted. 22 million Americans are Republican, Democrat, Independent. We've got a lot of work to do for a lot of Americans.
So how do you get it done in the time frame?
I think we've been reaching out to people on both sides. Sam, as he mentioned, has talked to several dozen people in our party. We were just part of a bipartisan group that was meeting. So I think that there is enough support on both sides. I'm confident of that, to reach a deal. So now it's just a matter of what is that deal going to be? And I think that what we've proposed is the right framework, because it might not appeal to everything that everyone wants, but it gives enough people enough of what they want. It says we're going to provide relief to the people who need it. We're going to pay for it. We're going to do it in a fiscally responsible way. That something like what we're proposing, I think, can be the basis for getting this done.
Which is the definition of compromise. Thanks for coming on Common Ground.
Appreciate it.
More of the Fred Fair Show coming up.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau, call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group. I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime.
Our entry-level data plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto-pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, I'm Teresa Giudice.
I'm Clay Aiken.
I am Dre DeMatteo.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jill Whelan.
Hey, everybody. It's Billy Baldwin.
It's Patricia Heaton.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Polizzi.
It's Candace Bushnell.
Hey, everyone. It's Henry Golding.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
I'm Ted Lange, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
We brought in a team of experts who are the best at what they do in their specific fields to reevaluate that evidence, to dive back in, and to not come back with a no for an answer.
That evidence has been sitting there collecting dust. This wasn't a new tip. It wasn't some new evidence. It was the hard work of President Trump's administration.
It was a team effort. It becomes cliche, but cliches are useful for a reason because they matter, and this was a team effort.
Authorities say they have their man. They arrested a man they believe is behind the pipe bombing, planting those pipe bombs. This is a picture just released of Brian J. Cole Jr., a man now in custody. And he is, according to authorities, the person behind placing those pipe bombs. Again, they didn't go off right before January 6th, but it has been a long time searching for this man. We're going to start there with our panel. Fox News contributor Ben Domenech, host of the Big Ben podcast, Leslie Marshall, Fox News contributor, and Byron York, also a Fox News contributor. Ben, your thoughts on this, and after hearing that news conference with the FBI director and the attorney general, and how this all came about. Well, first off, I just want to say, I think that this is one of the examples of what is so important to restore faith in the FBI, in the Department of Justice, and in our entities that we all want to have faith in to be able to pursue leads and to find the answers to cases that, quite frankly, have spawned a million different conspiracy theories over the past several years. And finding a definitive answer here, I think, is very important. Well,
obviously see the way that this case plays out. But it certainly seems to go against the idea that this was part of some grand overall conspiracy or something of that nature. And I think that we're going to find, you know, more facts related to this individual in the days ahead. And I am glad that this administration continued to pursue this case as opposed to having it languish and continue to foster a lot of people coming up with crazy ideas about where it came from.
Yeah, and it was, according to the FBI director, the deputy FBI director, the attorney general, it was kind of hard-nosed investigations. In fact, the FBI director, Kash Patel, is going to be on Fox News. We have a preview of as he's talking about the evidence.
We looked at 3 million lines of evidence. We went back and looked at the cell phone tower data dumps. We went back and looked at the providers and what information they provided pursuant to search warrants at the time, and asked questions such as, why weren't all the phone numbers scrubbed and why weren't they connected and why wasn't there any geolocational data done? Now, that is either sheer incompetence or complete intentional negligence, and neither of which is acceptable for this FBI.
Yeah, Leslie, it is a positive if you listen to all of this after all of this time to get to one person that they believe is behind it.
Oh, I think this is definitely positive. I remember, this man allegedly, thankfully these bombs did not go off, was targeting both Democrats and Republicans at the headquarters of both the DNC and the RNC. I know everybody wants to get their grassy knoll rugs ready, for conspiracy theories like, you know, why wasn't this done before? But, you know, one of the things that I've learned being a true crime junkie is that when you have a new set of eyes, when you have cold cases that sit on the shelf for 10, 20 years, sometimes you can find things, and they have done that, and there is a victory lap. But here's the problem. Some people say that victory lap is not just because it's 5 years in the making falling short, but you have approximately 1,500 pardons that don't make this for some people as strong. And there are people out there, not just conspiracy theorists, asking, will this guy be pardoned too? Will this guy be pardoned next? So that is certainly something that's a concern for many Americans.
Yeah, Byron, New York Post, January 6th pipe bomb suspects started building devices in 2019, according to the feds. Brian Cole Jr. of Woodbridge, Virginia, was charged with one count of transporting explosives across state lines with intent to kill, injure, and cause damage, one count of attempted malicious destruction, with authorities saying more charges possible. Neighbors in the suburban cul-de-sac described the young man, who shunned most human interaction and doted on a pet chihuahua. We're getting more information about this guy. I asked Kash Patel in an interview at the beginning of the administration about this investigation and what he thought about the last FBI director on this front. Take a listen. Does the FBI know who it is?
The FBI, under me and Dan Bongino's leadership, has reestablished that the investigations of great public importance that almost blew up the DNC and RNC in Washington, D.C., an area in which then Vice President Harris was in the vicinity of, is something that needs to be answered. And we learned that FBI leadership in the prior administration slow rolled and basically shut that investigation off. So we turned it on.
That's what they're saying, is that the past administration kind of let it go.
Well, there's a lot more I want to know about this. I mean, we want to know more about this guy. We want to know more about the motive. I mean, did this just happen on the night of January the 5th, right before this enormous Capitol riot on January the 6th? Is there any connection there? What was he doing before this? Who were his people he was around? And if indeed the previous administration didn't have a lot of interest in finding this, well, why was that? Because if you remember, the January 6th investigation was the biggest thing the Justice Department has ever done in its history. So I'm not suggesting there is any conspiracy behind here, but there's a lot of questions that people are going to want answered, and they won't be satisfied with just saying, well, we've got the man, it's all over.
Yeah. All right. Other breaking news, Ben. The Supreme Court ruling in Texas redistricting says the district court failed to honor a presumption of legislative good faith by construing ambiguous, direct, and circumstantial evidence against the legislature. Second, the district court failed to draw a dispositive or near dispositive adverse inference against respondents, even though they did not produce a viable alternative map that met the state's avowedly partisan goals. In translation, the Texas Republican map that benefits the Trump plan for the midterms is the one the Supreme Court's saying should be in place.
I think Republicans are actually feeling a little bit better going into these next midterms than we might have expected at this point, just given everything that we've seen. I think that they feel like they have enough time to right the ship. I'm not sure about that. I'm a little more skeptical. But I do think that there is an attitude shift on Capitol Hill that is more positive for the GOP in terms of holding things together and perhaps bucking historical trends when it comes to this next midterm, as opposed to where it was even a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and you know, Leslie, the Justice Elena Kagan wrote the dissent here. There is going to be this battle on redistricting, but as we saw in Chad Pergram's piece, most of the retirements, resignations, are happening on the Republican side, which usually is not a great sign ahead of a midterm. But to Ben's point, there could be a turn here, depending on what the environment looks like.
So in the state of Texas, one of the problems that Texas has is when you look at the redistricting and what they are really banking on in some areas is the Latino support that Republicans and specifically the Trump administration gained. And almost all those gains, especially because of the economy and immigration, they've lost. So this may actually backfire. Now, I'm in California, and I'm already saying what's going to happen here. Apples and oranges, both fruits, very different fruits, because we have voters versus a state legislature making that decision.
Byron, the president makes a push, first of all, that inflation, if you look at the chart, from 9% under President Biden to now 2.5%. He is going to make this push around the country. Clearly, they see the polls, and it's upside down on how people are perceiving this.
Absolutely. After the Biden inflation, the voters elected Trump to do something about the economy. And we have had poll after poll after poll that suggests voters don't think Trump has paid enough attention to it. He hasn't made it his absolute number one agenda item. So the reason we're seeing this tour starting next week is because those voters don't have a lot of faith in what Trump has been doing about the economy. Now, Trump's economic plans has always been very, very simple: cut taxes, cut regulation, and make energy cheaper. The one thing he can't do on this tour is tell people things are great for them when they're not. They need to know what he's going to do.
You feel their pain. It's the old Clinton, feel their pain, Ben. Here is the speaker talking about the president on affordability.
What he's saying is that the Democrats are using this as a hoax, okay? Affordability is a real concern. We made huge strides to reduce the cost of living, increase incomes, reduce the tax burden on everybody across the country. Now, people have not felt all that yet because it takes a while for it to be implemented.
You know, so they're pitching, and I heard the Treasury Secretary saying the beginning of 26, you're going to start to feel this. They have high hopes for the Fed rolling back interest rates again in December here in a couple of days, and maybe again in the new year. What do you think, Ben?
I think the problem that they have is that they have short time in terms of the mindset that people have as voters. You know, effectively what we know from prior elections is that people start to make up their minds on this stuff in the spring, not in the fall, and they are aware of the different factors that are hitting their, you know, pocketbook at that stage. And I think one of the problems here is actually the success that Donald Trump had in his first term. A lot of people thought that reelecting him would automatically lead to an economic turnaround, and I don't think that they actually had built into their heads how bad the Biden economy was. And because of that, I think there's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done on the side of Republicans in order to encourage people and to frankly message against what they're going to get hit with.
Leslie, quickly, you know, obviously the Obamacare subsidies come to an end at the end of the year. There are bipartisan efforts. We had one on Common Ground to try to get a solution, at least temporary, at least for that. But that is another cost increase that people could see.
Yes, and it's not just health care. I mean, the American people are being lied to. I'm sorry, with this administration. You have people saying their manufacturing is booming. Nearly 800,000 jobs under Biden were gained. Over 58,000 jobs just since April in this year lost in manufacturing. Let's look at the auto industry, another industry we're told is booming. It's not. Even with the Black Friday specials, people are holding on to their cars longer. They're buying used cars. They're not buying those new cars. You see less people buying houses. And then, of course, now they have that looming, you know, dark cloud on the horizon with health care. People are scared.
Yeah, and we'll see. They may get to a bipartisan solution before the end of the year on the health care stuff. Panel, thank you.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime.
Our entry-level data plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Hi, friends. RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Arturo Fuente, rare pink, happy ending. Extremely limited and rare, this is a perfecto in every sense of the word. A spicy Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, a Dominican binder, and luscious Nicaraguan Dominican filler. Offer up notes of oak, leather, cocoa, and spice. Proceeds from the sale of this cigar benefit breast cancer research. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Twin River Resort and Casino is excited to announce the return of Lab War. Brought to you by Heartbot Productions. This exhilarating showdown will have two fierce opponents going head-to-head in an unforgettable battle of slaps. Who will emerge as the last one standing? Event is January 31st. Show begins at 7:30 p.m. For complete details or to purchase tickets, visit twinriver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. For a moment at Twin River Resort and Casino.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.